Okay. And at what age did you try to, I guess, hook up with your brother?
I was 12 and he was 19.
Welcome back to Other People's Lives. I'm Joe Sanegato.
I'm Greg Dybeck.
For anyone out there that would like to be a guest on our show, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our email is oplpodcast@gmail.com. Just send us your story and we'll get back to you.
Today, we're speaking to a woman who has incest fantasies. She wrote in her email, "I know it sounds absolutely wild, and I've been having these thoughts since before I remember. I also tried to act on it with my brother once." So we're going to talk about where she thinks this all came from and how she is actively working through it in therapy and in her life. So we've got the guests on the line. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, of course. So I know you said that you've had these fantasies and thoughts before you can remember, but is there a time that you can pinpoint where you started to realize that you were having these thoughts and that they sort of maybe raised some flags in your mind?
I think so. Sorry. So when I think that probably around the time when I was starting to like discover like porn, I guess, is really where I was like, okay, I think that I might be a little fucked up. especially because like Tumblr back in the day when it was like porn safe and I was like really into Tumblr, there was a lot of like incest stories, and there was some incest porn with like people showing their IDs to like prove that they're siblings and then, you know, going and doing stuff like that. And when I stumbled upon that, I think that's where I really was like, oh yeah, I think I might be a little traumatized.
Wait, was that like real incest porn? Like, obviously there's a category of, you know, brother, sister and all that, but you were kind of stumbling on like people proving that they were siblings.
Yeah, so like Tumblr was really unmonitored at that time period. So like it was like twins or like people who were like legitimately showing their IDs and like their birth certificate type of stuff to prove that they were like genuine family, or like mother daughter like duos or whatever it was. And yeah.
What about that was attractive to you?
That's an interesting question. Sorry. I don't know. I think that
No, take your time.
I think that it just piqued like my interest. I don't know, like I saw it and I was like, oh, I've never seen anything like this, and I didn't realize that that was like a thing. And then it just kind of progressed from there, and I like got into Reddit and was like reading stories, and there's like a really like massive community who thinks it's okay, which it's totally not, and I understand that now. But
did you know that at the time, like when you first found like what this is, did you realize like, oh, this is not typically what people are attracted to, but I clearly am?
Yeah. So I have a lot of guilt over it, and I still do to this day. And I felt it then as well. I always understood that it was not normal, and it was not like a common thing that people like fantasize about, I guess. And then obviously like you hear all the people being like, people in the South love to fuck their brothers or whatever, but yeah, I don't know. I knew it wasn't right. People make fun of that shit all the time. So
you stumbled across this and then it piqued your interest, and totally understandable that it's hard for you to even say why, but you sort of just, you know, whether it's whatever the taboo fact or just the fact it was one of the first kind of things in porn and sexuality that you stumbled on, but you kind of go deeper into this community. So you just mentioned Reddit and things like that, but there's a community of people advocating like, this is okay, this is normal, like siblings should have sex with each other.
Yeah, basically, there's a really massive community on Reddit, and it's still like active to this day, where people are just like, it's mostly just people explaining their experiences with it. A lot of it is rooted in trauma. Like if you read into it from like a outside perspective, it's like these fathers or these brothers or whatever it is putting these ideas in to their head and like making them feel like it's okay. I mean, that's definitely where my stuff all started, is like I have a lot of trauma with my dad. So yeah, I don't know. It's still very active today.
What is very active?
Like the community on Reddit and even on Tumblr still, where people are just like encouraging it and being like, it's the most intimate thing you'll ever experience and like stuff like that.
Okay. And you also said in your email that you did try to act upon this with your brother. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. It's a very weird thing to talk about, but yeah, we can. Yeah.
Is your brother older or younger than you?
We all have a pretty big age gap. So my brother is 27. He's 29 now. I am 21 and my little sister is 15.
Okay. And at what age did you try to, I guess, hook up with your brother?
I was 12 and he was 19.
And so can you just walk us through of, you know, what happened and what his reaction was?
Yeah. I mean, I was really scared. So, and he was drunk. And I basically, at the time period, he had like our basement to like his entire self. And I basically just went down there and he was laying down. And I just kind of like crawled into his bed. And I don't fully know if he like understood that that's what I was trying to do, but after a while of just like laying there with him and like cuddling, I guess I got too anxious and was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then we ended up just like cuddling and falling asleep together.
So you're pretty young when you discovered all this. If you were 12 by the time you, I guess, even brought yourself to sort of attempt that with your own brother. Like how old were you when you kind of discovered this community and this type of porn?
Yeah. So I was 8 when I got my first smartphone. So I probably like downloaded Tumblr and stuff when I was like 9, 10. And that's when I like stumbled upon it.
So a few years of that. So for you to make that move with your own brother, and like you said, you got anxious, nervous, but the feelings must have been extremely strong at that point for a 12-year-old, where you were sort of willing to step out from the online world of this community and kind of give it a try yourself.
Well, yeah. So like I said, that I have a lot of trauma with my father. And that's really where all of this started.
I think that's important too. Yeah. Sorry. I was just going to say, if you're willing to kind of share that, if you feel like you're able to pinpoint, you know, where this comes from, we'd love to hear that.
Yeah, of course. So like I was, I guess, sexually assaulted by my father from like the time I was, I mean, it's before I can remember, but like my therapist and I have tried to pinpoint it to be like 3 or 4 until I was 11. And I think that that's why, like, because he, my mom kicked him out of the house when I was 11. So I think that that's why I tried to start it with my brother, because I was like, I guess, just kind of missing that connection. And that's why I started it. I tried to start it so quickly after. Yeah, I always grew up with and intimate situation with my dad.
Wow.
Okay. And did you, so you think this had a direct correlation to your attraction to this very taboo thing?
Yeah. So like most of the time when you are like a sexual assault survivor, it either goes either way. So you're either hypersexual and you like love sex and it's like all you, like you have like a sex addiction, or you are completely abstinent. At least for a point of time, like you just are like anxious and don't like it. So, and I swung to the hypersexuality of it, because I guess it was just like a way of coping. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, it's fine.
You absolutely are.
But can you just kind of describe like, okay, after you have like that night, you like fell asleep with your brother in the bed, what was the next few days like? Were you thinking about that, or was there like another attempt, or, you know, how did that sort of change your path with all of this?
So I never tried again. I did like share a bed with my brother quite often after that. But we never like did anything. And I mean, I know that like, this is, I feel so awkward talking about it, but like, I definitely like masturbated to the idea, like quite often. And eventually I like was like thinking about my sexuality, and like the thoughts like shifted from him to like my little sister, and like my mom, and like it just, I never acted on anything ever again, because I think that I just felt like the guilt took over and I didn't want to do to them what my dad did to me, if that makes sense.
Right. But you had these sort of sexual fantasies about all of your family members?
Basically, yeah. And I just like would watch porn and imagine it being us.
Do any of your family members know that you're going through this?
No, absolutely not. And I would never tell them. That's so, I can't imagine.
And is this still active? Like, is this still something that you kind of deal with on a day to day?
Yeah. So like, I obviously try really hard not do anything like that, but I have like been watching porn or even having sex with my boyfriend, which is really weird, and like noticed myself like starting to imagine it being a family member, and then being like, oh fuck, that's weird, I need to stop, and like correcting my thoughts, which is something that I'm working on with in therapy continuously.
And does your boyfriend know about this?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. So you no one else knows about this. Just you and your therapist and us.
Yeah. Yeah. And my therapist and I haven't talked about it like too much. Honestly, you guys are going to know about it more than anybody else in my life.
Joe always makes fun of me because he says I'm terrible at drinking. I agree. I'm pretty bad at drinking. I try to drink, but I don't always feel well the next day, and it doesn't take a lot for me to feel that way. He doesn't believe me because I, you know, could maybe have like two drinks and I'm like, okay, I'm going to feel this. But luckily there's a game-changing product that has helped me and can help you guys. And I want to tell you about it. It's called ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink, and it's the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. Let me explain what that means. It was invented by scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. So the way it works is when you go out and drink that alcohol, it turns into a byproduct in your gut. And it's this byproduct, not dehydration, that leads to those next day feelings. But ZBiotics produces an enzyme and it breaks this byproduct down, which means that if you make ZBiotics your first drink of the night, and of course, drink responsibly, then you will feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinking, I honestly feel the difference the next day. The mornings are just not as rough. I feel like I have way more energy, like I can just get up, go, tackle the day ahead of me, because I don't like losing the day after drinking. Like, I still want to work out. I still want to come to the studio and be a productive person. So with ZBiotics, I am actually able to do that, even if I had some drinks the night before. So you guys know how it is: vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions. What, there's so much going on, so many times that you're going out, you're celebrating, you're drinking, and you want to get the most out of your spring plans. And you can do that by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. And you can go to zbiotics.com/OPL and get 15% off your first order when you use OPL at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. So this is really worth a try. So remember, head to zbiotics.com/OPL. Use that code OPL at checkout for 15% off. And thanks, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and helping us enjoy our good times. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Since starting therapy, personally, I feel like I am in so much more control of my time, of my life. I feel like I'm able to structure things better because I've gotten to the root of what is important to me and where I want to spend my time, where I want to give my energy. Because before therapy, that was tough for me. There's a lot of people that I was trying to please at the same time, maybe catching myself in situations that I didn't necessarily want to be in. And therapy has just really helped me kind of get a grasp of how to efficiently use my time and prioritize things for me and also for the people that I love. But it almost feels like I've been given time back, or like I've stolen more time, if that makes sense, in the day, because of how clear-headed and well I can just prioritize and organize and understand what is important to me, what is serving me and helping me be the best version of myself. And when you're able to separate that out from kind of the noise and the nonsense, it literally does feel like you've been given time back in your day. And besides that, I've obviously benefited from therapy in so many other ways, from just coping skills, just being able to talk out huge decisions in my life. It's something that I recommend to anyone that's interested in trying it. And if you are interested, then you can check out BetterHelp. BetterHelp is cool because it's entirely online. So if you need something that's designed to fit your schedule, BetterHelp is perfect for that. You don't need to commute to an office or anything like that. The schedule can be flexible based on your needs. And it's super easy to get started. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a professional licensed therapist and boom, you're ready to go. And the best thing about BetterHelp is you can switch therapists. So if the first one or even the first few just don't feel like that perfect fit for you, you can kind of rotate through, find other people until you find the person that you feel the most comfortable speaking with. So learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. And you can visit betterhelp.com/OPL today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/OPL, and you're going to get 10% off your first month.
Wow. So the point of, you know, getting to therapy and being able to, I assume that was the first person that you ever brought these feelings up to, which, you know, must have been very hard and awkward at first, but that's a huge step. So you said the word guilt a few times, but, you know, after the attempt with your brother, you know, fantasies about kind of all your family members, was there sort of a boiling point of guilt or shame or different things you were feeling that made you think, I should try to get help for this because I don't want to have these fantasies for life?
Yeah. So when I was, I would say it was probably like I was like 18, 19 is when I really was like, okay, this is not normal and this is not healthy for me. And that's when I was like really starting to think about it, because my family wasn't like very like mental health positive. Like they still don't understand why I'm in therapy. So I guess I just never like thought about it in like, this is trauma-based way until I went to college and I was around people who were more mentally health positive. And then I was like, okay, maybe this is rooted in trauma and maybe this is unhealthy and it's like continuing the trauma. Like it's, and it causes like a lot of flashbacks for me. Sorry.
With your father?
Yes. Yes.
Does your family know about what happened with you and your father in the past, or is that also a secret?
So I have a lot of blocked out memories from that time period. I don't remember a lot, but I've been talking about it a lot with my therapist, and mostly it's just, we think that my mom knew the entire time and didn't really stop it. Which again would play into like me thinking it was normal and me thinking that like this was it like something that all families do. It's just like an intimate connection thing. But yeah, my brother knows as well, but my sister doesn't know.
And do you have a relationship with your father now, or he's not in your life?
I have not seen him since I was 12. I hope I never see him again.
Yeah. Do you think part of healing would ever be confronting your mom about that, or having your family know, you know, truly about this past trauma and how it's affected you?
So when I was like 20, I basically like broke down crying on my older brother and like spilled everything to him, and he had no idea. And then we like confronted my mom together, and she basically told me I was lying, and she told me that I that never happened, and that she would have stopped it if it did. And now as an adult I realize that that's not true, but yeah, so that also causes a lot of issues in my brain.
And you said you're like in therapy right now, but you also had mentioned that we will probably know more about this than your therapist. Is there a reason why you kind of don't open up too much about it to your therapist?
I think that it's just really hard to talk about, especially when it's someone that you know and you see every day. Like, you guys are never going to see me again. So it's just easier to, like, I guess, trauma dump. But my therapist, we've talked about it. Like, she knows, but we're more focusing on like the background of it right now. And then we'll probably like switch over. I have to journal about it, which is really awkward, but we'll probably switch over to it again more in a few months.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's such a weight, it seems like, and so much to, you know, we have a lot of people on the show who have certain fantasies or kinks or things that could be extremely taboo or might offend others. And a lot of people we speak with, they kind of lean into it. They're advocates of it, and they're not necessarily looking to stop their fantasies or stop their kinks, but to deal with something that you, at this point, it feels like you don't want to feel, like urges you don't want to have, and you're constantly fighting them off because they're just happening to you. That feels like a whole different dynamic and scenario, that you're working through. And that's a lot, but it is cool to hear that you are starting to open up and talk about it and get to the root of it as well. So, you know, definitely commend you for that, because it's, I'm sure, not easy to speak about to anyone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I would say it's just mostly embarrassing. Like, I just feel like I'm blushing right now, blushing, kicking my feet. No, sorry. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
So what is the ultimate goal for you? Is it to kind of work through it to the point that you just never have these thoughts again?
Hopefully, yes. I don't know if that I'll ever fully reach that point, sadly. But hopefully I'm trying to work on it now while I'm young, so that whenever I'm like in my 30s or 40s, I'm not like still fantasizing about my little sister. It makes me feel sick to my stomach.
And What was, I'm interested, like, why did you reach out to us? Like, why did you want to tell us if this is something that, you know, obviously, and I mean, we appreciate it. Let's not get that twisted, but like, we definitely appreciate you being super honest. But like, you know, what was the initial thought behind, you know, I want to reach out and kind of talk about this?
I wanted to like, honestly, I just kind of wanted to like bring awareness to it because like, I always felt very alone in the way I thought, especially because Reddit and like Tumblr and everything really encourages it. So it makes me feel like maybe I'm, I don't know, like wrong. And I just wanted to like, if somebody else is having these thoughts, be like, hey, like it's normal and it's probably rooted in trauma and you can probably fix it if you like, or not fix it, but help it cope with it if you like get help and you want to make it better. And I don't want anyone to feel like the self-hatred that I felt whenever I was younger.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, and you know what that means. Let's talk about sex for a second. Guys, remember those days? Maybe you were younger and just, I don't know, why did I do that? Just always ready to go. Well, there is a way to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. And the answer is Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets, and it's a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night, so that you can plan ahead or just be ready whenever the opportunity rises. And it's all done online, no visits to the doctor's office, it comes in discreet packaging, that whole thing. You don't have to worry about your neighbors or anything like that. It's incognito, but you're gonna get what you need. And you might be asking, does it actually work? Do I even really need this? Well, the good news is you can try it for free for a month and see if it's a fit for you. The truth is you don't want to be missing out potentially on the best sex of your life. We know that confidence is sexy and Blue Chew is here to give you that confidence. So let Blue Chew help you have better sex and discover your options at bluechew.com. Chew it and do it, baby. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. You can try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code OPL at checkout. All you'll pay is $5 for shipping, and that's bluechew.com, promo code OPL, and you receive your first month free. So visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, that's really well said, because you know, you see a title like this episode, or you see those words together, incest fantasy, and you can't help but sort of judge before hearing the conversation and think, like, who is this person? This is sick. Like, that's disgusting. Why, like, am I about to listen to someone who's, you know, saying like, this is fine, this is, you know, just a fantasy of mine, it's a kink. But this is something that isn't your fault and that you're actively trying to cope with. And, you know, if you're going through this and feeling that, then that immediately means that you're not the only one in this world going through that. And it's a lot to bear and a lot to shoulder. So we do thank you for that, because it's, you know, to be able to bring awareness to these things that I don't get platforms really ever, it is at least cool to know that it will probably reach one other person who's going through this, who might feel so alone and think that they're the only ones in the world going through this, and they're not.
Yeah. I mean, well, you're thinking me, but I feel like I really should be thinking you. You're giving me the opportunity to discuss this on a platform that will reach a lot of people, which is crazy. But
yeah, it takes a lot of courage to just say all the things that you just said to us. It really, really does. And that doesn't go unnoticed.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So, before we wrap up, are there, like on that note of maybe someone hearing this where they have something similar, or anything rooted in trauma that has, you know, created a reality for them now that they are trying to, you know, cope with, if they're having urges or things that they don't want to be having that they know are wrong, essentially, what are like some steps that have been most helpful for you, or that you think will be most helpful in this
kind of recovery journey that you're on? You mentioned journaling, therapy, but anything, you know, specific that we didn't discuss that could help someone?
Yeah. So, I do stuck point journaling mostly, which is, like A, the thought you have, B, why you have that thought, and then C, the way that thought makes you feel. And then you like journal about like why you felt that way, why you, have the thoughts, talk about your like trauma, and just like really like I guess vent, and it really helps. Like I know it's incredibly anxious and like it will make you like terrified, but it really helps to like read that to your therapist and like get it out, because if you're still like bottling it all up inside, it's not going to leave, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, we appreciate you coming on and being so honest. I imagine this is definitely not something that I would be super comfortable telling anybody. And I mean, I totally understand your, you know, your point of being like, I definitely can't tell anyone that I know or who was involved in a therapist. I see them, but I'll never talk to you guys again. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on, taking the time and talking to us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, of course. And wishing you the best of luck, you know, in this journey. And, you know, hopefully this conversation helped. And again, we appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Oh, my God.
That takes guts.
It's a rough one. And I just like, first of all, her father's a fucking piece of shit. Let's get that out of the way. And it's kind of crazy to, not crazy, but like, it's just another example of those young ages, especially when it comes to sexual abuse, like what that can do to a person, like moving forward is, you know, the whatever, like, I mean, anything could fucking... oh my God. It's, I can't even imagine 3 to 11.
Yeah. What just the like fragility of just, yeah, a person of that age.
Yeah. And I think and that then, it's obvious that like something like this would stem from something like that, you know, and all the psychology language around the reasons why is another thing, but like it's fucked, man. And now like, you know, it's obviously this is a very taboo thing and it's very strange, of course, to be thinking about your fucking sister who is a minor and like not good. You know what I mean? And
imagine having those uncontrollable thoughts
I don't know.
Just like peppering your mind and you're trying to push them out.
I don't even want to think about that.
I mean, yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, I'm happy that there's no like acting upon any of this, obviously. But it's fucked. I mean, the whole thing is kind of like fucked, you know, and I don't think that there's anything, you know, I'm not taking a shot at this person's character at all. It's just like an unfortunate situation. Like obviously they went through a very traumatic upbringing and there are ramifications for that because your dad's a fucking piece of shit. And now you just kind of have to deal with this thing. And the thing that I feel bad about is that like, there's no one to talk to about this. You know, like you can't, how the fuck can you explain this to the average person of like, you know, like we've created the setting here to have like a serious conversation, but how does that come up? Yeah. How do you tell one of your friends that like, without them being like, what, like, you know, like there is some nuances and this and that you have to kind of go through to have that conversation for real. Like it's impossible to do.
Even walking into therapy, like, you know,
and saying that
we're big advocates of therapy. And I don't think either of us have discussed something to that degree. Could be wrong, but like what, same thing, safe environment, whatever, but that's still a stranger. Like to sit down and say those words to someone repeatedly, session after session, like it's awesome that she even got to that point and that she's continuing that. And it seems like it's kind of a slow build. They're really trying to talk about the root trauma and, you know, this is probably a long journey for her, but man, just, well, coming on our show and just saying that and the work she's doing in therapy, that's such a like hill to get over to even get to that point. So that is awesome to hear for her, like that she's actively working on it. But wow. And just from a high level, it's just one of those reminders on this show. I think it's important to hear, like to lead with something like incest fantasy. And like I was saying to her, the kind of immediate judgment that comes with that, but then to be reminded of the effects that trauma or an upbringing can have on someone uncontrollably, for them to now have to deal with this in their life. Like that is just always important to remember. And I think the other thing is, it just made me think again, like so many things that are hard for people. Like people always say like, oh, I wish they would have just told me this, or I'm their friend, or this and that. So much easier said than done. Like you do not know what someone is going through in silence that they're keeping inside. And it's scary to think about, but you would just, from the outside looking in, you would just never know sometimes, never know that someone could be dealing with something, you know, to that level.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that trauma, like I said, it's wild the effects that that has on people, and not even just children, but she was a child when that was happening, but like on grown adults, dude. I mean, people go away to war, they come back, they have PTSD, they can't fucking sleep, they have night terrors, they're fucking whatever. You think they want that? Like, obviously not.
Yeah.
Like, it just completely throws off how they used to be because they've went through something traumatic. And this is the same thing. I'm sure she's like, bro, I don't want to fucking be attracted to my brother or, like, whatever the fuck. But, like, this thing is wrong and I want to deal with it. I want to fix it. I don't want to, like, you know, act upon it or, like, even think about that or whatever. Like, that's a prison, basically. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's horrible.
It's a mental prison.
And it's just not good. It's not great. But, I mean, we wish her the best. And, you know, I'm glad that she picked us to talk to and to come on and kind of, like, you know, whatever. Because, again, we're just trying to offer a different perspective on this show so that people can kind of understand that. Because, like I was saying, if you just talk to the average person and you try to have this conversation, immediately, most of the time, it's going to be written off as like, this person's fucking whacked, and like whatever, but not understanding like where this could potentially come from. And like, it's not something that I want. It's not the same as you just liking girls. It's not the same. It's built through something different than that. Like, it's a more nuanced conversation, and that's difficult.
And it's hard not to lead with judgment in everyday life or, you know, something
of
that
course.
You're not expecting like that.
Yeah. And you need to have the conversation to eventually get to the point where now you're saying shit that we're saying right now. I mean, cause I'm not going to lie. You see incest fantasy, you go, okay, here we go. Buckle up.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today? You know, but I don't know. It's difficult, and I, you know, we can only wish her the best, and I hope that she's, you know, making strides over time.
And hopefully this helps. Maybe she found words or an ability that she didn't have before to even talk more openly about it,
right,
just by getting it out. That would be cool. Maybe she shows this to her therapist one day. Who knows? Hopefully it helps in some way.
Yeah. For anyone out there that would like to be a guest on our show, hit us up. Our email is oplpodcast@gmail.com. Just send us an email and we'll get back to you.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok @OPLpodcast. You can support the show at patreon.com/OPLshow. And that is all.
See you guys next time.